The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
There's catch reported from all five districts, and the Westside fleet is still standing by on short notice. Will state managers still have a job in 2 weeks? It's Tuesday, June 20th. I'm Dave Benninger. Glad to have you on board. Coming up tonight, Copper River posts a price of $1.35 a pound. Plus, we'll see how the mild start in Naknek-Quijack is doing when we talk to Travis Ellison for an overview of his district and ask if late timing is the new normal.
Yeah, that's the big question right now, isn't it? Hard to say. I won't go out and say that late's the new normal. 13 to 14 were actually early, particularly 13. So we've seen more variability in run timing in the last 5 years than, you know, we've kind of seen throughout the last 60 or so.
Plus, his boss's boss's boss, Commissioner Sam Cotton, is on the program to discuss what could happen if lawmakers don't adopt a budget by July 1. And we have a state government shutdown.
There are some legal issues, so we're working very closely with the Attorney General and the Governor, and everybody's on the same page here. We do not want to shut down commercial fisheries, but there are some uncertainties as to what we would be allowed to do.
Those conversations are coming up on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Brailer, thanking customers for purchasing brailers, slush bags, and net bags from a local family-owned company, measuring and building gear for a perfect fit. Orders for next season at 907-469-0782 or online at bristolbaybrailer.com.
First tonight's numbers from the fishery. Dr. Scott Rayborn said the Pandalus was back at it today, but he was still waiting for catch data from Station 12 by this deadline. Rayborn wrote in an email that the daily index for today is down. We'll have the Port Mueller test fishery numbers for you tomorrow on the AM newscasts and analysis tomorrow night on this program. The genetics report from the June 14th through 17th catches at Port Mueller was released this afternoon. Here's the breakdown of those genetics. Of that catch, 38% was igigig fish, 17% was nooshigak, 15% Wood River, 15% North Peninsula, 4.5% ugashic fish, 4.3% naknek, 2.1% alagnak, 1.7% quijack. Fractions of a percent of the June 14 to 17 catches went to igushik, togiak, and kuskokwim sockeye. Monday's igigig catch was 40,000 sockeye, bringing the total there this season to 182,000. Bay-wide, the catch is pushing 200,000 fish, with catch now added from all five districts. Igigig escapement Monday was 26,000 sockeye, bringing the season total there to 45,000. Ugashik was closed to commercial effort Monday, and no escapement counts yet there this season either. The Naknek-Quijack District has recorded about 3,000 sockeye landed this season. The Naknek Tower started counting Monday and has 2,500 sockeye recorded as escapement. Here on the west side of the Nooshigak District, Igushik set netters continue to fish, but their harvest is still confidential based on the number of buyers. Nooshigak River escapement. King salmon continue to lag with 900 counted past the Portage Creek sonar Sunday and just 284 counted past the sonar Monday. Season total of Chinook, 2,600. That's well below expectations. Nooshigak's sockeye escapement is blazing along with 86,000 counted Sunday and another 50,000 counted Monday. Season total of Nooshigak Reds right now, 163,000. That's almost halfway to the lower end of the escapement goal range. The Wood River escapement also moving along quickly with 38,000 counted Monday and another 11,000 before 6 a.m. The department updated the count at 1 p.m., saying the total now 88,000 up the Wood. That's closing in fast on the 100,000 threshold for fishing the district when kings are lagging. Igushik River, no counts yet, and that catch again is still confidential. Togiak River, no counts yet, and the fleet has landed less than 1,000 sockeye there. That's Bristol Bay's catch and escapement data, as you know, rather preliminary here this early in the season. Here's ADF&G's Mary Embry with the vessel registrations.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with the district registration as of June 20th at 9:45 a.m. In Egigig, we have 239 vessels registered. Naknek-Quijek, 109. Inushigek, 111. Togiak, 14. And Ugashik, 37, for a total of 510. In 48 hours, Egigik stays at 239. Naknek-Quijek changes to 110. Nushigek changes to 118. Togiak remains at 14. And Ugashik changes to 43, for a total of 524 vessels. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon.
The Area M fleet landed about 30,000 sockeye Monday, down from the days before. The catch total there stands at 1.3 million, with most of the harvest coming from South Unimak and Shumigin Island fisheries. Statewide, on the blue sheet, 2.7 million sockeye on the books, made up mostly of South Penn's catch, Kodiak's 430,000, Chignik's 273,000, and Copper River's 378,000 fish. Let's take a short break. Back with you here in a moment on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-yay, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Thank you for staying with us tonight. Again, catch this show dedicated to this great fishery nightly at 6, 10, and 2, with an early show at 1:30 on the weekends. Send feedback and let us know what's happening where you're at, fish@kdlg.org. Or call us here at the station, 907-842-5281. If you have messages to send out to the fleet, letters from home, you can contact us the same way with those, whether you're tuning in from our listening area or catching this show from afar at kdlg.org. An email from Mark Hansen at Copper River Seafoods today. Dave, hope all is going well, and thanks for keeping the fleet posted. As you know, we are a pretty small player in Bristol Bay and really here to take care of our fleet and fishermen. We will plan to do weekly pricing to our fleet based on the fresh and a small part on the frozen market. Pricing this week is $1.35 for bled, slushed, or RSW fish delivered to our tenders. As you can see, we continue to put money back into our investment and continue to shore up our property. Hope all this helps. Mark Hansen, Chief Operations Officer, Copper River Seafoods. Mark, thanks for dropping a line to give us that bit of interesting information. And there's the shot across the bow, $1.35, the price to meet or beat, at least for this week.
Why don't you break down, honey, and give me just a little bit of that money?
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. I spoke with ADF&G Commissioner Sam Cotton a bit ago today to see what plans, if any, there are to keep this state-managed fishery going in the event of a state government shutdown. Commissioner, good to have you on tonight's program. Thanks for making time. I'm sure things are getting busy. Can you at least give us an update? What do you hear from the state's capital?
Well, as you know, the governor's called the legislature back in for a second special session. They're actually going to have some budget work today in a conference committee, and they're scheduled to go on the floor on Thursday. But I don't know what they may have on their calendars on the floor at this time. We're obviously hopeful that the legislature will complete their business with the budget.
That's why I'd like to speak to you tonight, is because we're already fishing here in Bristol Bay. But as you know, things will get much busier in just about the time that there's a potential shutdown. For folks who are very concerned about that, what can you tell them? What's a worst case scenario look like?
Well, I won't even start with the worst case scenario, but I will say that we're going to operate up to June 30, which is the end of this fiscal year, full strength, and not do any advance reductions. So the presumption is going to be that the legislature will grant spending authority. And this is unprecedented. We've not faced a situation like this in Alaska before. There's still some uncertainty. We certainly recognize the importance of the fishery in Bristol Bay for all the obvious reasons, to the people that fish for a living, to the families that depend on that, the industry that's invested and brought personnel in to process fish, the transportation industry. There's just a huge effort that's already been put out in Bristol Bay, and we certainly want to do everything we can to avoid disrupting that. There are some legal issues, so we're working very closely with the Attorney General and the Governor, and everybody's on the same page here. We do not want to shut down commercial fisheries, but there are some uncertainties as to what we would be allowed to do in the event that we didn't have spending authority.
So what might those be as people are heading out here? What should they call their legislator one more time and say, please understand that what? The fishery will go to a weekly schedule, or what happens?
No, the uncertainty is going to continue here until we get specific authorization from the Attorney General to spend money and have people perform management functions. The state constitution requires us to manage our fish and game resources on a sustained yield basis, so we feel there's a constitutional mandate there. There's also a constitutional provision that says we can't do anything without authority for spending from the legislature. So there may be some conflicting requirements from the constitution there. So we're making the case that there are certain functions that would have to continue in order to meet our constitutional requirement to manage fish. But like I say, Alaska's never faced this before. Our expectation is that if we continue to manage and keep people on the payroll after July 1, somebody would sue us. And so the court system would get involved pretty quickly, and there's another level of uncertainty as to what would happen then.
The optimists among us have just assumed for the past few weeks that this will get sorted out here very shortly, but Bristol Bay's ongoing fishery here may not be the deadline that those folks in Juneau are as concerned about.
They're definitely aware of it, Dave, and they've heard from a lot of people. I know a lot of industry folks are going to be in Juneau here either today or tomorrow to remind them of the importance of not just Bristol Bay, but Bristol Bay is the headline event in Alaska fisheries in a lot of ways. So that's a good example of the disaster that would ensue if we weren't able to perform our management functions.
I think our House Speaker probably knows a thing or two about it, so I'm sure that message is not being lost.
We're really fortunate to have Representative Edgemon in the legislature and a Speaker of the House. He's well known for his hard work and his integrity, and if anybody recognizes the importance of this industry to that region, it's going to be him.
One more question for you, Commissioner Cotton, before we let you off here tonight, is announced this morning from the Trump administration that Chris Oliver will be heading up NMFS, National Marine Fisheries Service. Oliver is someone you probably know very well between both of your times with the North Pacific Council. What can you say about Chris and this this promotion here?
Well, Alaska is very fortunate to have Chris take that job. Too often, people in Washington, D.C. don't have an appreciation or haven't been educated about the issues that take place here in the North Pacific. They have immediate and direct economic impact on Alaska. Even though the fisheries take place outside of 3 miles, they still use Alaska ports or harbors. A lot of the people, live here. Most don't, by the way, that participate in the federal fisheries, but many do, and it's really important to Alaska. So we're really fortunate to have a person who's well-informed in that position.
Sam Cotton is the Commissioner of Alaska's Department of Fish and Game under the Walker administration. Commissioner Cotton, we hope you have a job here in another 10 days, and we'll come back on this program to chat some more.
Well, again, my job isn't the problem here. The problem is the uncertainty, and just the uncertainty alone causes disruption. So we'd like to avoid that and get this resolved as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Commissioner, thanks so much for the time.
Yes, sir.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Hot off the presses tonight, the Port Moeller Test Fishery Daily Catch Update for June 20th. Just 10 and 10 caught between the 4.5 and 5 and an 1/8 inch mesh today. Scott Rayborn saying those catches are down. Station 2, 5 in the 4.5 and 0 in the 5 and an 1/8. Station 4, 2 and 0. Station 6, 1 and 7. Station 8, 2 and 1. Station 10, 0, 2. Station 1200. Again, the boat did not fish yesterday due to repairs. We'll have analysis on those numbers and this run coming up tomorrow. Fish at kdlg.org is the way to keep in touch with us. Of course, we passed our cell phone numbers and email addresses on the back of the KDLG schedule. We've put a bunch of around lately. Text messages are fine as well. KDLG's Caitlin Tan pulled Captain Monty McIntyre aside to see what's on his mind before he gets going fishing.
My name's Monty, and I have a boat up here. Let's just leave it at that.
So what's on your mind going into the season?
Get the fuel pump fixed, get these nets in the right place, have good meals. It's good there's no bugs around, really. Take long, hot showers, use your neck pull, get all the shit on the boat, be comfortable. And because I'm going to fish here and kind of made my mind up already, I can do that. If I had to go in the water and check my reefer system and go to Ugashik or be desperate or check out some things that people do on boats, like can they stand their crew for more than 48 hours, Those kinds of things are important and you need to do them. But no, I'm comfortable because I don't want to be anxious about it. I mean, you're too old to do that. I want to enjoy the excitement of the natural phenomena of the fish, certainly, and see sunrises and see fish jump and catch them and make it profitable and safe. But anxiety, frenzied, I can't get into it. I go the other way on that. I'll hop my bike and leave people if they're coming by and getting frantic around me.
Thanks, Captain. Good to hear from you. We hope to hear from more of you this season. Well, this week we're checking in with our area management biologists for an outlook on their districts. Tonight, Travis Ellison joins. Ellison sits at the helm of the Naknek Kwejak, which is expecting a total run of 16 million sockeye and could see a harvest of more than 8 million this season. Travis, good to talk to you today here for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Welcome back, and nice to have you on.
Thank you, Dave.
So first, before we get anywhere, how's the early effort shaping up? I understand you have a few boats out doing this, that, and the other. How many are out fishing, and what does your catch look like here?
It seems like a pretty limited effort here to start off compared to a lot of other years, but it's still early in the game. We had a catch from yesterday of about 3,000 fish. So it's, you know, it's kind of on the low side of catches we see for that date, but doesn't really mean anything at this point in the run. Seems like a lot of people are still in the boatyards, at least the ones planning on fishing up here. We've got the district open all week, and we'll just kind of see how it progresses. I assume we'll have some kind of build up throughout the week, but it's hard to say how significant it'll be.
When do your counting projects get in and start reporting back to you, accounting for the travel times and such?
Our Knack Tower just started counting yesterday. We got a full day count from there with an escapement of about 2,500 fish. Those are fish that came through before the district opened. So I expect the daily counts will kind of drop off here until we really see another, you know, pick up in the movement of fish to get those escapements rolling again. But looking back historically, that's kind of normal for when we start counting as far as 2,500 fish first day. It could kind of drag on like that for a week or start picking up here hopefully sooner than that.
And then you have the Alagnac going back in this year, is that correct?
That's correct. We'll have Alagnac back for the first time since 2011. They should be start counting around the 27th or 28th of June. Before that comes online, we'll have the Kwijak Tower. Crew's up there getting it set up today, so within the next day or two, I expect to be getting our first counts from the Kwijak.
Okay. We'll come back to the Alagnac Tower at some point this season. I hope to send somebody out there to maybe spotlight why that's important, but maybe I could ask you just here today, how had you been counting that sizable portion of percentage of your total district run in the past couple of years, and why is having a tower so important that these groups have agreed to help fund it?
Well, the Lagnac's been kind of a black hole in the data set since we lost the tower project, and you know, we've seen really variable run sizes there. So the way we run it without the tower project is just getting an end of season aerial survey estimate what we got up there, but that doesn't really help us out much for in-season management. And without having it, we have a hard time estimating the total size of the Kwijak run because we need to apportion the catch to three different rivers feeding into the district. And we've seen real variable runs. The Lagnac, you know, historically was a pretty small contribution to the district. And then around the early 2000s, it really increased productivity. It's been pretty strong ever since, with a couple exceptions. 2014, we were surprised to go up there and see pretty small escapements, and then followed by 15 with what's likely the biggest escapements we've seen recently anyways. And then last year was a little bit more of a big year, but kind of normal-ish for escapements there, but all that is information we get after the season. So having a tower on there will really help us, you know, take advantage when we have those big runs. As long as both the Kwijak and the Lagnac are healthy, you know, I think we can do a better job providing opportunity on the west side.
I guess I'm surprised that project ever went away, but yeah, I know how valuable that data is to the in-season management task, so I'm sure you'll be glad to have it back there when those numbers start trickling in here. Sounds like probably just after the first of the month or so. Question I heard come up a few times during the off season to you at some of these meetings where folks get together is late the new normal for Knack Kwijak? It's been 2 years in a row of just sit and twiddle thumbs while the fleet waits for some opportunity. Is that, in your mind, becoming the new normal, or were those outliers and you expect might come back to something more normal timing here this season?
Yeah, that's the big question right now, isn't it? Hard to say. I won't go out and say that late's the new normal. 13 to 14 were actually early, particularly 13. So we've seen more variability in run timing in the last 5 years than, you know, we've kind of seen throughout the last 60 or so. I the feeling that it's, you know, looks shaping up a little more normal-ish, but it has been a slow start on the neck so far. So it's just, you know, there's really no predicting when it's going to jump up at this point. Port Mueller would indicate that we've got more volume coming. We should have some genetic samples soon, genetics estimates to see where those fish are heading that are in the pipeline, but hard to say. It's at this point, we're not looking at something like a 2013 run. I mean, we can be pretty confident in that, where everything was
way early.
Essentially, a lot of the big catches started during this week. So
right.
I'm not seeing that at the moment.
Well, it seems like the fleet's not anticipating that much either, because it does appear that most people are not incredibly anxious to get in the water and be ready over there. And after those past 2 years, it's not hard to imagine why that would be the case. As you look at your district here and look at your forecast, do you see any difficulties for allocation or for escapement to any of your tributaries here?
No, actually, the forecast for Naknek Quijack District is very average, I would say, for all river systems. You know, Quijack's at about 7.8 million, Lagnek's 4 million, Naknek's 4.3 million, for a total of 16 million forecast. So we're expecting decent runs all three rivers here, so I don't see big escapement concerns for any one of them. You know, the Quijack's been doing good lately, so I wouldn't be surprised to see it perform maybe better than what the model said it would do. So it's kind of, you know, it's more of a normal year. We've had big runs lately, so it's going to seem like a small one if it comes in on forecast. But I think we should have enough fish to do some consistent fishing once they get here.
We hope that works out as planned and everybody has a good season. Travis Ellison is the area management biologist for the Naknek, the massive Naknek Quijack District. And Travis, we'll check in with you again soon, but thanks for the time today.
All right, thanks, Dave. No problem.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
That's just about it for tonight's show. Your marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay: tonight, west 20 knots, seas 4. Tomorrow, west 15, seas 3. Tomorrow night, west 15, diminishing to 10 after midnight, seas 3. And the Thursday outlook, southwest winds of just 10 knots, seas predicted around 2. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachev, similarly calm out there. Tonight, west 15, seas 3. Tomorrow, variable 10, seas 3. Tomorrow night, variable 10, seas 2. And a similar outlook for Thursday as well. We'll have more features and information here on this program throughout the season as things get rolling and more of you get out there on the water. Tomorrow, we hope to have FRI's Curry Cunningham join for some early run analysis, and we'll take a peek at just how busy that Pinair terminal in King Salmon can be. Keep in touch, fish at kdlg.org, or give us a call here at the station. We'll send out your messages to the fleet, and we enjoy backfilling the hours with your song requests. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from listeners and you, the fishing fleet. We appreciate it. I'm Dave Benninger. Good night. Good fishing. See you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.